The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right.
Bonjour. Actually, bonsoir. That's my new French word. Thank you very much. Bonsoir. Do you know what that means, Hale?
Thank you very much.
No. Yes, your French is as bad as mine. I love it. That means good evening or good night. But we'll say it's really late here, so it's definitely bonsoir. Welcome to the Olympics edition of Laughter Permitted. I'm Julie Foudy.
Je suis Lino Zawi. I am feeling so excited for these games, and I think it's because we've had a lot of Olympians on the pod. I actually went through our feed. There are 17 Olympians currently competing at these games that we have talked with.
What? Everything,
soccer, water polo, cool. Swimming, gymnastics, basketball. So I feel personally invested in these games.
Good stuff, ladies.
Yeah.
Good stuff getting some badass guests.
Yeah. And the baddest of asses guest of all is the Heather O'Reilly. Wait for it, people. Guess how many Olympic medals she has? 3. Yes. Heyo, as we call her. Why do we call you Heyo?
My initials, Heather Ann O'Reilly. And back in the day, that was my screen name. My AOL screen name was Soccer H-A-O.
Amazing.
And so soccer coach of mine was like, Heyo. And then my teammates were doing that. And then the national team really grabbed onto it.
So Heather Ann O'Reilly played for the U.S. Women's National Team for 15 years. Right? Won gold in 2004, Athens, gold in 2008, gold in 2012, London Games. So Athens, Beijing, London. Actually, that was the last time the United States has won gold. It's been 12 years, y'all. And then she added in a World Cup in 2015 for good measure. And she's currently a soccer analyst for numerous entities, but we stole her today. So get comfortable listening. It's Heyo and U.S. soccer against Zambia, plus a lot of other fun stuff to talk about.
Kick back, relax, and unwind. Let's have a good time finding the joy in life. We're smiling so bright, talking.
Jules, oui tu mon ami. Where are you, my friend?
Thank you for the translation. I'm still in Nice. It is, past midnight, and I haven't turned into a pumpkin yet. And just got back to the hotel after the game, called the game with John Champion and Marissa Pilla, who does all our reporting. And I'm happy. Can I? Yes, I can say this because people, if they're listening to this, they've watched. I got people on Twitter saying, can you not tell us all the scores? I'm like, just mute. Press mute. I got to give them a warning. So, the United States beat Zambia 3-0. It really should have been about 10-0, but it's 3 points and 3 goals and they didn't concede any. So there you have it.
Beautiful. And Heyo, where are you zooming in from?
All right, well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
Yeah, we're pumped to have you.
Thanks. I'm actually headed to Paris on the weekend, on Saturday, just for a brief stop in and then continuing for a little vacation with my husband. But we are at the coast of North Carolina in Wrightsville Beach. So I got a little beach hair going on, but I cozied on up all day and watched some footy. So that was what everybody's like,
proud of you.
Are you going to be with the kids today? I'm like, I got games to watch. I got games to watch.
Sorry, kids. Feed yourselves.
Yeah,
feed
yourselves. And there was 8 games today. So I was like, I'm busy. Don't
talk. How old are they now? They should be self-sufficient by now.
a little bit. 4 and 2. So they got
cooking you 5-course meals by now.
Yeah. The 4-year-old can at least survive in the wild for sure.
That phase.
Something that is super cool about having the two of you on together is that you both won a gold medal at the 2004 Athens Olympics. Heyo, that was your first Olympics. The tender age of 19. Jules, that was your swan song, your final Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the Olympics, remember, Heyo, where we were like, if I don't win this, I told my husband I would be a bitch for the rest of my life. And so Hale, you scored in like what the, was it the Germany game?
Germany game, yeah.
Yeah, right? To save us? Hale scored in the Germany game, 19 years old.
Yeah, but I scuffed one like 5 minutes earlier, so I had to make up for my blunder. Do you remember that? Like freaking gimme breakaway. Yeah, oh, I did? Just came into the game. Allie Wagner always reminds me that it was like her dime piece final ball. She put it in behind the back line.
Of course she does.
And I like beat the goalkeeper. All I had to do was like roll it in with my left foot, but I like awkwardly like scuffed it. And it like hits the post and trickles out of bounds. It was like, it was a tough one. But
well, we've seen that a couple times tonight even. So fear not.
Yes, exactly. It happens. To the best of them. Yeah.
Yeah, but we won the Olympics. So
yeah, and my
gosh, whole family, my husband, everyone was very happy. I was not a biatch for the rest
of my
life.
And I'm exactly. Now we got Happy Julie for the next 20 years.
Phew. That would have been hard slog that.
But one thing I do remember about you, Julie, is like at that point you had already freaking played like 200 games for the national team, but you were always very present. Like you guys treated that tournament like it was your first, like, and I think that that resonated with me. Like you had your video camera. I remember having your video camera. Like, I mean, that's probably like, looks like an antique now. You were just like filming
everything.
Was I shooting
it 2004? God, I was still shooting. That's amazing.
That was when like a brand would be like, hey, can you shoot for whatever?
Oh, I think we were shooting
and then,
something
like,
for Yahoo. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you would send it in and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
We were starting to monetize it finally. Yeah. We were like, wait a second. So there's money in this thing?
Right. Well, I remember. And then like that kind of wore off on me. And like for the next couple of years, obviously one of the bummers about soccer at the Olympics is that you start before the actual opening ceremonies. And you're usually in a city where the opening ceremonies are not. So I don't think the team has ever even been to an opening ceremony. At least that I can think of. Anyways,
we went to one or two. Yeah.
Okay. But you kind of like, I think you had us dress up one time, even though we weren't actually in the opening ceremony. Like we put on the whole thing and we walked out, like even if it was just in the meal room. And I think that that was just like really important to me. And we did that for a number of times after in Beijing and London.
They're actually doing that tomorrow night.
Oh, good. I remember
Tokyo. Yeah, because they're in Marseille, of course. The U.S. game, the next game's in Marseille.
Well, I remember in Rio, which was a difficult experience for me. I was an alternate, so it was tough in a lot of ways. But I remember being like, girls, pack your outfits for opening ceremony. And they were like, no, I don't want to put it in my bag because then I have to carry more stuff in my bag. And I was like, okay, like I really think that this would be a good team bonding thing to do, but to each their own.
So they ditched the tradition.
And then they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And
that's
then
why they lost.
And then exactly. And then shocker, we got knocked out in penalties and went home, and it was womp womp. So, anyways, all that stuff adds up. All that stuff adds up.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I appreciate your leadership there.
Oh,
that's good stuff.
Yeah, I heard that they are going to do a little something. Did you hear about the opening ceremonies for this Olympics?
Well, Julie, that's a fantastic segue into our newest segment on Laughter Permitted called Olympics Buzz.
Oh, we have a new segment. I didn't even know that. Olympics Buzz. I wish I was buzzed right now. The bar was closed. Okay.
So,
did you hear what they're doing? With the opening ceremony?
Well, let me tell you.
I just know LeBron is carrying the flag with Coco Gauff. Dorsey?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is awesome, but what else is going on?
Well, here, Jules, I have the greatest joke lined up if you'll let me do it.
Oh, go ahead.
Paris is doing the opening ceremony down by the river.
That's pretty fun. On a van down by the river. Okay, that's funny. If it wasn't funny, I was going to say that is not the funniest joke ever. That's pretty funny. They're doing it not down by the river. They're doing it on the river. They're not even in a stadium. They're just like floating them in. So all the athletes, instead of, the march into the stadium when it's all chaos and they're like, stay in straight lines. And you're like, shut up. No.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, they're on boats.
That's pretty sweet. How many boats are there? Do we have any numbers on this?
Yeah, how many? Do you know?
Don't know how many boats. Great question. I do have one number to share.
They said the whole U.S. delegation is on one huge barge.
Wow.
Whoa.
For like the big ones. I said, could they even fit on the Seine? The Seine is not that wide in some spaces. And they're like, yeah, they fit the whole U.S. delegation on a big,
that's pretty cool,
big old cruiser.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So according to NBC, a billion people around the world will be watching.
Yeah.
And allegedly, Celine Dion and Lady Gaga are performing. Because word on the street is that they both have arrived in Paris.
Because Celine Dion is the greatest singer in the world!
I just watched her documentary, though. I don't know if she's got the pipes right now, but you know what? She's
in,
Yeah, she's kind of going through some stuff.
Ayo doesn't think
she has some health issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's got some health issues. So, I mean, she's... And even her being there, if she doesn't sing, is incredible. So, Celine, if you're listening to this, we love you. We care about you. And it's okay. You're more than just a voice.
You are.
It gets better.
I got to go watch that.
Oh, it's really
good. Yeah, they got Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson doing the show with Mike Tirico.
Should be a good time. Hey, what are you most looking forward to watching this Olympics besides soccer?
I mean, I think like a lot of people, Simone Biles, like seeing this, even though we can call it a redemption victory lap, whatever it is. Like, I just think it's incredible that she's quite frankly so much better than everybody else, that she can like take off the time that she did.
Yeah.
She's older in that world, right? So I'm pumped to just kind of watch her journey. And then like, I just think I just broadly like get interested in some sports that I just never, like, you know, I love watching the beach volleyball. Beach volleyball is like so cool.
So
good.
How about their setting? They always have the best settings.
I know. It's so cool. I saw a picture of it with the Eiffel Tower right in the back. It looked majestic. So is the weather nice there, Foudy?
Hot.
I mean, I know that you're not in Paris, but.
It's hot. We were in Paris for the first 3 days. Then we've been in Nice for 3 days. And now we go to Marseille for like, because they have the next two games there for like 5 days. But Paris was actually cooler. It's hot down here in Nice. But, you know, it's tough living.
Yeah.
Biking along the water's edge.
You just like having croissants and frolicking on the beach all day?
I literally took a video of me and John Champion, my play-by-play guy, biking along the beach. And I took a selfie video of us. And I was like, hey, John, how are we going to tell our family we're actually working here? He's like, yeah, we needed 5 days before the first game for mental preparation alongside the beach. All right, should we go? Should we talk a little soccer? Talk a little footy? Lynn, do we have any more of the Olympic buzz we need to get to?
The other one was the Team Canada with their drone.
Shut up. Thank you.
Team Canada women's soccer.
I want to talk about this. We kind of have to talk about it. I want to talk about it from a couple different points of view.
Well, quickly, the backstory.
The backstory from, I did not even do a research deep dive into this, but clearly, listeners, you know, like some practices are open to the public, open to scouting, or like games are open to scouting. Like there's like a respectful exchange of game film, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a few practices, pre-game practice, maybe 2 games before the 2 days before the game, or like 1 day before. You can't watch the other team's practice. It's a closed venue, no fans.
They kick you out.
Right?
They kick us out.
They kick everyone out. And like, sometimes it's a little over the top, but as you can imagine, like penalty kicks, seeing the other team do penalty, like that's major information, right? That like, you just respect, it's like the integrity of the sport.
Yeah.
You don't spy on other teams. Of all
exactly. I know.
Do not be like the moral compass of the world.
Oh, that's not where I was going. Canada, they're so damn nice.
Canada.
I know.
They're so nice.
And I feel like we're such assholes,
Canada,
in America.
Women's soccer.
Canadians are always so nice. How dare you actually be an asshole?
So lovely. So nice. And okay. And that's where I kind of want to go with this, because I actually kind of feel bad. Okay. So, okay.
Wait,
let's get back.
I thought you
listeners.
Were going, wait, Tio, there, Tio. I thought you were going to, and of all teams you're going to spy on, New Zealand. I mean, come
on. Well, that was the joke.
I mean, come
that was the joke.
I mean, Allie Riley, no disrespect, Allie Riley, who's played in 4 Olympics for New Zealand and plays for Angel City and is amazing. But, I mean, come on. And you're the Olympic reigning champion. This is not your first rodeo.
Yeah.
You did not go drone New Zealand. You drone Germany or the United States or someone. France.
Julie, we don't
Spain.
Condone cheating.
We don't cheat.
So yeah, we don't cheat. But evidently, like the thing is, the headlines came out. It was like, you know, Canadian staff admit to cheating or spying twice. And like New Zealand was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What was the second time? They didn't even know. It was like, anyway, so my feelings on it is I don't want to penalize the entire team. I actually for once feel bad for the Canadians. Yeah. And I'm like a ruthless competitor, but like, I like these girls.
I mean, okay, wait. Also, like, it's highest security at the Olympics. Any drone is considered, like, a terrorism threat. How stupid. They are on high alert for opening ceremonies. Like, how stupid do you have to be? I think it was, like, a rogue analyst who really wanted to, like, be good at his job.
Yeah. I agree.
That more people had to know. I'm not buying that entirely.
Well, it seems like he was fired/removed.
And the assistant coach
that he probably reported to for that was in charge of the scouting.
They opened a full-on investigation into it, too. FIFA did. So this is going to get real.
Well, this is where I got the segment name from, Olympics Buzz, because the Olympics provide no shortage of amazing stories.
Right. The buzz now is the battery of the drone over the field.
Oh, man. Not the way you want to start your tournament as reigning champions with all of that drama.
That's a shame. That's a shame for everybody involved.
Everyone, stop cheating and stop being assholes. Thank you very much. End of episode. Okay, let's talk soccer. What'd you think?
I mean, in 2024, you come away from your opening game 3-0. You just take it, right? But like, I think that there's... Yeah, it's a little bit like leaves you wanting more, especially considering that we played up a player for 60 minutes, literally 60 minutes. I mean, you probably know the exact number off the, like it was in the 34th minute that they lost a player. Mm-hmm. Like that's a long time and to not
it's
score.
A long time. Because they scored their third goal, I think in like the 24th or 25th minute.
One area where I'm like, why aren't we just getting these scrappy goals anymore is, I mean, for literally 200 caps, 150 caps, however Megan Rapinoe played, like that was a real weapon, Pinoe set pieces, right? Because she was either scoring or she was whipping in a corner kick that led to a goal directly, or like it had so much venom on it that people were misclearing it, or it was like an own goal.
You heard my set piece stat 400 times tonight. Yeah,
I did. I was like, God, that's more terrible than I even thought. And I think, honestly, I think it's the delivery. And it's not like we have poor delivery. Like, you know, Swanson can hit a ball. Lindsay Horan can hit a ball. Like, they're decent servers of the ball. But Megan Rapinoe was elite.
Yeah.
And it led to goals.
What was interesting tonight is there are two situations for a direct free kick to actually put it on frame on goal. They opted to go far post. Of all teams to try and see, you know, they have Gianni Vio, who's this Italian set piece specialist, who Emma actually said to US Soccer, they're like, you know, as part of your staff, what do you want? And she says, I want a set piece specialist and I have this guy in mind. And they're like, who? And she's like, Gianni Vio. He's like the best of everyone. He took Italy to win and helped them win the Euros in 2020. He was at Tottenham. He's been at AC Milan. I mean, he's been at every club, major club. This guy's amazing. And they're like, we already have him working with the men. She was like, what? She said, I need to borrow him for the Olympics. So he's been working with the team the last 4 days in Marseille, which is where they're based out of. And she said, you would not believe how good this guy is. His insights, his knowledge. But tonight, you know, which tells me they don't have a Rapinoe-like that's going to whip it on frame like she would have in a shot. Like maybe they don't have that type of delivery. So he went far post. I don't know. They didn't try and actually.
Yeah, but you're right, though. That's also just an attitude thing, right? Like that's, I mean, who knows?
Well,
maybe they were.
And my point was against Zambia with their goalkeeper that they had. Like you need to try that. Like why not?
Pinoe is shooting that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Even Alex, like if she was able to, like they're shooting that. So it's like we need some audacity. Like, and it's not even that like crazy. It's not, it wasn't that far out, you know?
No.
But just kind of to like, just have the like, I don't know, just the guts and just like, just wanting to go for it and not be like concerned or your teammates mad at you or something. Like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
So I don't know. So set pieces is something, I mean, at least they have somebody now, but you don't become like Pino didn't, I was about to just say she didn't come out of the womb good at serving set pieces, but actually she's pretty bow legged. So like, she actually just kind of did have the anatomy of being a good set piece taker, but also in all seriousness, she worked her ass off on it and rep. And like, and so I don't know if, his name is Gio. I don't know if Gio is going to be able to like transform.
Gianni Vio.
But as you know, if he can scrum up one.
Yeah, they'll be better
goals,
for sure.
They'll be like, they've struggled with that for a while. It's worth it. Like that could be
for
like
sure.
Literally the difference of the tournament.
And that's what I actually love about Emma. She like recognizes like, okay, I need this and I need this. And this isn't my specialty. This isn't my expertise, but I'm going to bring these people in because this is an area we need to get better at. I like that about her a lot.
Yeah, I love that. So those are kind of the negatives, I would say. But positives, I would say, obviously, for Trinity, like, that was a sweet goal. First of all, like, the ball was good. Her move. Actually, you know what? The ball was, interestingly,
it was
under
behind her.
It was behind her. I was like, Lindsay hit it. It was almost like a golf putt that she just, like, babied out of and, like, took too much out
she
of.
She had to adjust
it. But then she adjusted it. I loved the like swagger of shooting that, because then I thought she was going to lay it because she was back to goal. And she just turns it and Meg's the keeper. I think that's great. Yeah. So for Trinity to be vibing and Mal Swanson, player of the game, I think by far is flying. And I loved the goal of Mal just going right through like it was opening of the Red Sea, right? And I think when I think back to the era of Vlatko, like I love Vlatko and I'm sure that you have respect for him too. He's a good man, right? And he's clearly a good football coach.
Great
man, good, very good club football coach. Like he knows what he's doing, right? And for whatever reason, it just didn't click. And he'll be the first to just be like, that did not meet the standards that we needed to. But I felt like the tactics were sometimes leading these final balls to be like almost towards the corner flag. Like the angles of the runs were like
for sure
from a 10, maybe they would be like darting through, which was great. But then they'd still have so much work to do to still get a good cross in. And I just feel like when I was watching Argentina men, like the precision of these like final balls, it's actually through the same seam sometimes, like a lot of times now, because defenders are so good. There's not like huge ass gaps between the defenders.
You're not finding
anymore.
Much. You have to thread.
No, they're like, you basically have to thread it more.
Maybe
or less
not against Zambia. You didn't have to thread it very much. But
Lindsay, that was a nice outside
that
the
back
foot
line
pass.
Is something.
Much,
I'm like,
there
wow.
wasn't much. It was still a nice textured ball, but she had a little bit of room to work with there. But a lot
that's
of the
thing
other
that is crazy. When you started this off by saying in 2024, you know, like a 3-0 win will take. But you don't find many teams now. You used to find a lot of super athletic, fast teams that weren't very organized back in our day, right? But they were still going to do okay because they had such athleticism. But now they've all been organized. But Zambia is one of the last ones. If they could get a coach in there that actually organized them defensively, I mean, think with the two of the greatest strikers in the world up there, if they had a little support in terms of like just an organized, compact defense, and then they could bust out
even
of that.
Even a back line, just a back line guy.
Yeah.
Or gal.
Give Barbara Banda something.
Gal. Yeah. Just like you work on these four players. That would be helpful. But I don't think it's just them. I was watching the New Zealand game and I was like, New Zealand's gonna. They're gonna be okay. I like those players, like Katie Bowen, like she's my friend. She's a good player. Like she's the captain, but it's like, it's the same things over and over. Like I actually can't believe that they're not better by now. And I know that it's a small island and they don't get together all that much or whatever, but their back line also was like kind of all over the place. So
I haven't heard the Emma post game breakdown from social because we just got back, but I'm sure she's not going to be that happy about that second half is my guess. Because
it's interesting. Like, she doesn't want to crush their confidence, yeah. But also,
yeah, I mean, she'll know that it's got to be better. It's got to be better. It just, you know, came to kind of a grinding halt there. And I get, like, you want to manage the game, which you always do in a tournament like this. And you want to rotate in players, of course, which is the right move to make because you're going to use all 16 field players. But, you know, like, the thing we always would talk about is, like, three's nothing. Even a game against 10, one goal in, they're back. Like, and especially with goal differential, knowing Germany won 3-0 because they played before the United States, that I would have thought they would have really pushed harder for that fourth goal. But they'll just beat Germany and all will be fine. Maybe.
Maybe the two of you can give perspective on how much of a challenge Emma Hayes is facing right now, where she's trying to build this team on the fly at one of the biggest tournaments the U.S. plays.
Yeah, it's hard.
It definitely is hard. And she's like she's so competitive, right? But like, I don't want to say the expectations aren't high. Like, it's always U.S. national team. But here she's walking to a team that's fifth right now in FIFA rankings. It's kind of, the paradigm has been shifted to, like, this is somewhat of a warm up to World Cup. I don't say warm up because that's like disrespectful, right? But like, it used to be dead even, right, Jules? Like, Olympics, World Cup, dead even in terms of how we approached it as a team, how we approach it as a federation, our bonuses, all that kind of stuff, dead even. And then at a certain point, it just kind of like somewhat mirrored the men's side in that, like, the World Cup is probably the pinnacle, right?
Yeah.
So basically what I'm saying is, does she have a lot of pressure?
I think she came so late, like,
yeah.
She manages it really well too. Like, you know, she's been into enough big games and big tournaments and tournament play that, you know, even people will say, well, she hasn't been to a World Cup, she hasn't been to Olympics as a national team coach. It's like, yeah, but she's played tournament play. She's played Champions League. She's played these huge games. And so she knows how to manage it. And she comes off very calm. And even though, because she says, like, yeah, would I have wanted more time? Sure, but I don't have more time. So what am I supposed to do? It's right. Fine. It is what it is. I'm just going to make the most of it. And so I actually see it as kind of a rally point for them that, like, hey, fuck it. We can do what we can do and let's go. Like, there's nothing to lose here. No one expects us. Well,
they're not
fans
stale.
Expect us.
They're not stale. That's for sure. Like, right. Yeah. Like, that's what people were saying with Vlaco and not making changes. Yeah, it was like stale, stale.
Yeah. Same formations.
We can't say this is stale. She just got here.
So, yeah, but she will have wanted more, I think, out of that second half, as I think the players would have said the same thing. But it is hard when you're rotating in, you know, so many players, and you have to. I agree with that. But they should have been better in the second half, for sure.
Moving to Sunday's game against Germany, Heather, what would you like to see from the U.S.?
Well, I definitely think, like, I mean, this is probably a basic, obvious answer, but, like, we have to be very physical amongst our back line. Like, one thing that I've been sort of like on my soapbox about, which people are like, okay, relax about the blocking shots and crosses. I just think that, like, we've lost a little edge in terms of blocking like not allowing crosses in, not allowing, you know, everybody's putting their hands behind their back now because they're worried about the handballs. And I'm just kind of like, I don't like it. Cause I think that, like, there's a slight competitive edge that's like kind of we're letting the team off, not like showing that. And like, it's going to be physical. Like, Pop is a beast in there. Yeah. And like, there's going to be a lot of scrums in the box that people have to like put their body on the line. So I just want to see the U.S. up for a physical challenge amongst our back line. Like, let's roll our sleeves up and like block everything, sliding, heading out, clearances, like really do the dirty work. I think so much of the conversation has been about the forwards and why they're not scoring and is Sam Coffey enough, et cetera, et cetera. But like, I want to get back to like the fortress defending. And I think that they really
need, like, a team that's going to test the U.S. So Emma's had two South Korea games, right? Mexico, Costa Rica, and Zambia. All right?
Yeah.
Zero goals conceded, obviously. Really, there's not much threat in any of those. So this will be a chance for the U.S. to see where they're at, honestly. Because this is a German team that sucked at the World Cup, right? They beat Morocco by like 9 goals or something crazy, or 6 goals. And then they, it was 6-0. They beat Morocco at the World Cup. Remember that? And then they don't get out of their group. Morocco gets out.
I was like, Pop's going to be the best player in this tournament. Germany's going to be in the final. Like, I was surprised that they tanked, right? And they, I mean, you can't judge on just one game, but they looked pretty good today. They looked like,
I didn't get to see all of it.
Yeah, like they're,
I really like Clara Buhl and Leia Schuler. Yeah. I mean, they've got some players that you're like, okay.
Obviously, Oberdorf being injured is tough for them.
That's a bummer. That's their, they're holding defensive center mid. They're six.
Yeah.
Tore ACL the game before the Olympics. Yeah. Oh, those damn send-off games.
But they scored on a corner kick, like a classic German. Yeah,
I saw that one.
Just out-jumped. You know, a tall Alana Kennedy, and that's why she's like in there to like, you know, be an aerial
person. When you were coaching, did you put any post players on for corner kicks?
Yeah, I'm a poster. I'm like, because I'm old school.
I'm old school. I'm like, they have no post players. Of course they're going to score on that. Okay. So, what's your score prediction for Germany?
Yeah, roll up the sleeves. Like, get weird. You got to get weird again.
Get weird.
It's fine. It's time. You got to get
weird. I love it.
Score prediction. 1-1. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think there's going to be goals. I think that Mal is like, she's rocking right now.
Yeah,
thank God. Thank God they got her back. She makes such a difference.
Such a difference. She really does. She's so smooth. Good finisher.
She glides, doesn't she? When she moves, she glides.
You weren't so effortless, Jules.
No, she just glides. Yeah.
You could like hear me coming from like 50 yards away.
This is Hayo's face. Wait, I gotta take my glasses off.
And gave it my all.
And it was like,
really gave my all.
We would make fun of Hayo's face all the time. So
yeah, game face. Wait, but what's your prediction?
I'm going to say 2-1 the United States.
Good. I like that.
I actually think they'll match up better against a team that wants to play a little bit, you know? Because then you're going to find the space for Trinity and Sophia and Mal to actually tear some back lines apart. And I don't think they're center back pairing. They still have Hendrick and Hegering. I don't think they're they were at the Euros, I believe, in 2022. They lost in the final to England. And they're a very good tandem, but their pace isn't that great. So I think that front line of the US's front three can get at them.
Yeah.
And that game will be a little more open.
It'll be interesting if Sophia is still out, who plays in the middle.
I hope she's okay.
I like Mal in the middle, to be honest, because she just...
Yeah, I did too.
Her timing is good, and she's just so... She just darts right through. Like I said, that goal is just like right through the heart. Sometimes I feel like when I'm coaching, I like was screaming at this boys team that I was coaching.
You're coaching boys. I love it.
Yeah, it's so good. But like, I think you get in this like vibe of switch the point of attack. And like the wing play is so overemphasized sometimes. And I was a winger, so don't get me wrong. I fucking loved getting it out there. But like, I'm like, the goal is in the middle. So like, if there's space in the middle, go up the spine, ladies. Go up the spine. And I feel like Mal Pugh is somebody.
Stay on the vertebrae.
Let's not use the width unless we need to use the width to get around them and then pull them out. But they're already pulled out. Well, ladies, let's just go down the middle of the field. And so I think that Mal gets that. Keep it up, Mal Pugh. Keep it up.
If there's a goal right down the middle of the field, we will know that the team was listening
to this
podcast.
They heard Hayo.
I feel like just the energy is flowing to France.
Flowing.
Yeah.
Get weird right. defensively, go down the middle of the field. It might sound simple, but it's a solid game plan against the Germans.
I love that so much. Let's get weird.
Get weird. That's what we did. That's what we did for decades, Jules. What we
Let's
did
get
for decades.
Weird. It's all about
questions
the weird.
Permitted. A listener named yes. Kate Blair asks, Julie, this is for you. How's the Toto treating you?
Pardon me.
Oh, someone asked me, do you have a Toto there, my friend? I was like, no, I don't. I don't have a Toto. The Toto's treating me very well.
Yeah, I'll tell the story. At the Olympics in Tokyo, Julie had a soft quarantine, and she became really familiar with her hotel room's toilet. It was a Toto toilet. Jules, what did love about it so much?
The heat.
The contoured warm seat.
Yeah. And was there a little...
And of course, the bidet.
A little splish splash.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger being like, a bidet is so gross. And now I'm like, no, we're gross.
Yeah.
For
yeah, I know. It's so nice.
Yeah.
So Julie loved it so much. She blasted it out on her social media.
Every day.
And Toto responded by sending her a full-on Toto toilet plus a seat that was she was able to put on another... toilet in the house, which I've experienced personally. And it's true. Once you get that warm toilet seat experience, talk about let's get weird.
I love that. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. You spend some extra time in there.
I do not have a Toto here, but it's treating me great. Thank you, Kate. Which brings me to the next most important thing is what the hell am I going to manifest here? And so I thought about this. Heyo, being that we're in Nice, we were flying in. Over, have you been to Nice before? In the French Riviera?
No.
You fly in and the plane like does that sweep around on the ocean and then it comes back along the coast and all you see are all these yachts. And I was like, okay, I can do this. Give me that yacht, party people. Yeah. I will play yacht rock all day. I've got, we wear our Ralph Lauren polos. That's what we got our gear is made out of. So I feel like it's very in line with
that. I don't know what your deal for this podcast is, but keep working hard and dream big and you yourself can have a yacht
You too
one day.
Can have a yacht and play yacht rock all day. Come sail away, won't you sail away with me?
Anything you'd like to manifest these Olympics, Heyo?
Great question.
A gold medal?
Yeah, I want to just like I think about somebody like Lynn. I just want Lynn to win a gold medal. Lynn Williams.
Lynn Williams. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I like that.
That would be so lovely.
How
was
about
Lynn,
that she's
no,
been
Lynn
the
wasn't...
alternate and then she gets brought up in the last Olympics.
And she wasn't
she was the
part
alternate
of the
in this one. She gets brought up.
She was, yeah.
I was
I
hoping
want,
she was
I want Lynn
one
Williams.
Today.
I want
awesome.
Lynn Williams to win a gold medal. That's
I
what I'm manifesting.
I love it so much.
Oh, heyo, I love you, my friend, for doing this.
Love you too, buddy.
And beyond thanking you, of course, heyo, we have to thank our presenting sponsor, Ally, which I know also sponsored your guys's the soccer tournament, TST, which you crushed.
Championes. $1 million.
I know. I was like, hey, Carla, how did you split that? She's like, we all got some. Yes.
Yeah. I took care of the
and
gal.
You get $1 million. And you get $1 million.
Yeah. You know, you got to make some tough choices. Players got 40. Coaches got 12 and a half. I don't know. You got to pick a number. I thought it was fair.
That's fair. Well, thanks, friend, for being on this. We'll be back for the next game, U.S. and Germany. And until then, remember, kids, sing it with us, even at the Olympics. Laughter permitted.
Laughter permitted. It's time. You got to get weird.